Acts chapter 2. All right. You know, we have church every Sunday. We have it on Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's a big misunderstanding, a lot of misunderstanding about what church actually is. And today I want to talk to you about, what does that mean, the church membership? What does it mean, New Testament church membership? Most people don't even know. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. And if you're not saved, you'll understand more about the church. There's a woeful lack of knowledge in this. Right. And if you are saved, it'll help you understand better what you ought to be or bless you for what you're already doing. But let's read Acts chapter 2, and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Amen. And because of that, I want you to notice the next verse. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a great difference between the New Testament church member and most church members today. As we just read, I thank God for those who really try to model themselves after the New Testament. I know I do. But I know there's people, all kinds of folks, and they're in different stages of their Christian life. I understand that. Everybody doesn't know what you know or I know. Some of them just got on the road that you're way down on already, that road of faith in Christ. So if we're going to have a Bible-based church, we've got to have folks who strive to compose a New Testament example of what a Bible church is. A lot of churches, but what's really a church? And there's a lot of church members, but what's really a church member? And because next to the home, now listen now, next to the home, God founded the home first. Your home ought to be the most holy place on earth. Next to the home, our church is the most important organization on planet earth. I'm talking about our church individually for our lives. I'm going to say that again. The home, according to God, first established, is the most important institution on planet earth. Amen. It's not the government. Don't look to the government to do anything for you. That's not even Christian. That's socialism. That's communism. But next to the home, the local New Testament church is the most important organization on planet earth. And it has been confused. It has been, people are confounded. They don't know. They think the government's number one, the family's number two, and then the church is way down the list somewhere. But God chose the church to bring eternal life to lost and fallen creatures. Amen. And then he chose the church to teach and disciple, admonish, whatever it takes, those people how to prepare to go to heaven and know what to do when they get there. Yes. Now the government can't do that for you. A social organization can't do that for you. Right. Only the church can do that for you. The church is there to help your family be what it ought to be. The right kind of church. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Now we weren't called to go it alone. We were called to do it together.
That's right.
Now, I know I'm the pastor, and I think about church every day, all day long, and every night. I know that's my calling. I just do that. And I know some of you, it never enters in your mind, but once a week when you get up on Sunday morning, you say, oh, no, I got to go to church. But it's my job to teach you the importance of what New Testament church is and the membership of a New Testament church, what the benefits of that are. But with benefits come responsibilities too.
Amen.
Now this is usually a Sunday night sermon, but I know some of you don't get here on Sunday night, so I'm kind of doing it for Sunday morning. If you're not saved today, or if you're a visitor, I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to try to help you understand what the church is all about.
Yeah.
Now, our church, as our church grows, and God blesses us, and He does, He has, and He will.
Amen.
We got to be careful. We got to be careful about church. And the things that pertain to church and the people that pertain to church. We could lose God's blessings as a lot of churches have around this town. They've lost the power of God. They've lost the presence of God. They've lost the blessings of God.
Yes.
The only chill they feel in there on Sunday morning is the air conditioning that Danny turned down to 65 degrees. They never get goosebumps. They never get, you know, they don't ever feel anything but cold. Amen. Spiritually and physically too. So we got to be careful. So, what kind of membership, church member, does the Bible talk about? Now I know to most people it just means they walked the aisle one day, they made a profession of faith, they filled out a card, and they got baptized, and that was the end of it. But that's far from that. That's supposed to be just the beginning of church. And I'm not asking for your allegiance. I don't need your allegiance. I'm not asking you to do anything other. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about church, okay? Now, again, if you don't get to come every once in a while, I'm not beating you up. I'm glad you show up every once in a while. I couldn't help you if you didn't show up then. But I think a lot of that is because you don't know the importance. And a lot of it, I'm going to show you in a minute. Number one. Turn to Matthew 18:3. A New Testament church is made up of members, yes, but it's not like the Moose Club. It's not like the Lions. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
It's not like Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not anonymous. The local church is made up of members. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, He says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Lord help us to turn and have the attributes and the character of a little child. A little child is loving and long-suffering and all these things. And Jesus said that we must be converted. Now, what's the conversion? Well, brother, one... can't think of his name. He sits right over there. David. He has a convertible. He keeps promising I get to ride it. I ain't riding that stinking thing yet. It's some kind of fancy sports car. Costs a lot of money. He don't want me in that car. But it's a convertible. It'll go from a top to no top. Like a lot of men we know. It can be converted from one thing, and it's changed to something else. You still with me?
Yes.
The Bible has another word for that. Transformation. The Bible has another word for that. It's regeneration. You take something that was dead, you make it alive, you turn it from a dead thing to a live thing. And Jesus said, except you be converted, you'll not even be a part of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
You can't be a part of God's family until you get born again.
Amen.
When you get born again, God will convert you. He'll take that stony heart out. He said, Isaiah, I'm going to take out your stony heart and I'm going to give you a tender heart. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. That old dead in trespass and sin, he'll regenerate that thing, make it alive where you can understand spiritual things. Now that's conversion. Now, unless you're converted, you cannot be a member of a New Testament church. Now you might be a member of a church, But it's not based on the New Testament, because the New Testament says you must be born again to become a part of God's family. And I'm afraid, the old great Presbyterian evangelists, which there are no more of them anymore, but old Billy Sunday, back at the turn of the 20th century, he said, I'm afraid the problem in our churches is not we've got so many backsliders. And he said, I think the problem is they ain't never slid forward in the first place. He did say slitters, by the way. Now, let me tell you something. You must be born again to become a part of this church. Now, I don't mean you walk up and say, I believe Jesus was the Savior. No, sir. You must admit you're a sinner, turn from your sin, turn to Christ. That's called repentance. You're turning from you to Him, and everything you like, everything He wants, that's repentance. You turn to Him and then call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Now you get converted, then you can join a church. And now you belong to a body of people that are converted people. Did you know it's easier to get along with people that are like you than are not like you? Could it be that the problem in our churches is a lot of them are not converted, so they're not like us? I'm just saying. That's what Mama used to say. I'm just saying. Number one, New Testament church is composed of converted people. Yes. Saved people. That's the word we use. Saved, born again. Number two, in order to be the right kind of member or a member of the right kind of church, either way you want to look at it. Number two, look at Matthew 6:33. Most of y'all, most of you probably know it, but turn there anyway, those that don't. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then don't turn there, but Revelation 2:10, He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We must have, now listen, you got converted, you became a part of that local body, now you must be faithful. Yes. Now you, look, He's faithful, He's going to save you, He's going to take you to heaven. But if you're going to have the right kind of church, and you're going to be the right kind of Christian, you're going to have to be faithful to Him and the church. Now, I know some people never think of the church, like I said, except Sunday morning, but there's things have to be done. There's jobs in the church. There's offices in the church. There's things that have to be done every week. And most people never give it a thought. They come in, sit down, they don't think, wonder who cleaned this place up this week? Wonder who lined up that chair that I plopped down in and slid it back 6 inches last Sunday? Wonder who cut the grass? One who gave enough money to keep the lights on. And thank God for that air conditioning. Yes. Most people don't think of those things. They just come to church and, y'all bless me if you can. I had a hard week. Y'all supposed to fix that. No, you're supposed to fix that with the rest of us. Amen? Yes. You become a part of the body, and then you become faithful. Faithful in your attendance, faithful in your work. Faithfully in your giving. Oh no, I can't believe you said that. Giving. That means money. Money. Faithful in your giving. Faithful in your witnessing and your daily lifestyle and what all these things you do, your family. And those things are part of us. See, when you're not faithful to the church, I got a suspicion you're not faithful to a lot of things. And then your family gets to all the pieces, and where's the first place you run to get help? The church. Because you haven't been faithful. Now you're counting on all those other faithful people to be faithful enough to fix what you've been unfaithful at. Somebody write that down and tell me what I said in a minute. It sounded good. Now listen, as New Testament church members faithful, not just to their family, not just to the Lord, but that I thank God there was a church there when I needed to be saved. I thank God there was a church there when I needed to get baptized. Didn't even know what baptism was. Walked in one night and the priest said, you getting baptized tonight? I said, am I supposed to? He said, yeah. I said, let's do it. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew it was part of being in the church. I wanted to do it. You got to change clothes? No, I ain't got no change. I'll do it in this. I'm ready. I thank God that the church was there when loved ones in my family passed away. I thank God the church was there and there was faithful people there who brought food to the wakes. I thank God there was faithful people there who showed up at the funeral that was a part of my church. I thank God there was faithful people there who went and took, visited them in the hospital, in the sick bed, before they died, Brother Holroyd, and showed their respect and brought some food and tried to help around the house. Hey, that's part of membership of a church. And most people just join a church now, like Elevation, Levitation, or Hellation, whatever they call it now. And they think you go in there and you get entertained, you dance a little while, and you walk out. Nobody knows your name. If you died, they wouldn't even know you died, because they don't care. Faithful.
Yes.
He said, you be faithful in little things, I'll reward you much. Amen. Well, preacher, what does my little old tithe count? It's going to count a lot when you stand in front of him.
Amen.
Well, preacher, what does my little old work? I cleaned the bathrooms this week. What does that count? It'll count a lot when you get up there, but it counts a lot right here too.
Yes.
I said, number one, we need a converted membership. If you're a member of this church, you've never been born again, I wish you'd come forward today and get saved. You sure help the church.
Yes.
Amen. Because you ain't going to be nothing but trouble till you do. Amen.
Amen.
Every once in a while, some of those unconverted ones will leave and everybody else will go, phew. Number two, I said, you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. Look, if you're not faithful, who's going to be? Number three, you still with me?
Yes.
You ain't mad at me, are you? The most important part, I think, in the lacking of this part, which is very important, not the most important, is this one right here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Don't turn there because I'm going to go real fast on this. He says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says in 2 Peter 3:18 that you're to grow in grace thereby, the word of God he's talking about.
Amen.
One of the most lacking things in the average church today is informed membership.
Right.
Informed on the Bible.
Yes.
Now they're informed on the business meetings. I talked to a couple recently and they got mad because somebody didn't call a business meeting on the right day. And they're ready to leave the church. I said, we don't have much business in our church. We try to do the Lord's business. We don't have much money, so we ain't got a whole lot to vote on. And I said, if you ever got a question, ask, though. We're not afraid to tell you. But I think more people are more concerned about information of who's doing what and who's giving how much than they all want the Lord wants. And how are you going to be a good member of a local church, a New Testament church like this is, if you don't know what the Bible says? Now, this is the place where you learn that that TV preacher is a crook. Because we keep you informed on what the Bible says. Did I say that right? I thought I did. I just wanted you to say it. Listen. This is the place you get informed. You learn the Word of God. You come to Sunday school. And by the way, your children ain't going to learn the Word of God at school. They don't allow that. You better bring them to Sunday school. And 30 minutes of children's church are not going to give them what they need for a week. And if you'll get them informed while they're young, you won't have to beat it out of them as they grow older. That's good preaching. And you won't have to visit them in jail when they get older. You won't have to take them to rehab. I'm talking about drug, not physical. We're all going to end up in physical rehab. But this is where you get informed at. Let me ask you something. And I'm not saying all the other churches are bad, but I sat down and thought one day, where would I go to church? Where would I go? I want to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
I don't care what the local association says. I don't care what the denomination says. There is no hope in the Pope. I don't care what the president said, the vice president, secretary of state, or the generals, or the colonels, or the Democrats, or Republicans. I want to know what thus saith the Lord. And this is where you get that, the local church. This is where your children learn that. Amen. Now that's what a New Testament church is. And that's what New Testament Christians and church members are. Number one, they're converted. Number two, they're faithful to their church. And number three, they're informed so they can keep that church going. Let me ask you something. If the older generation died off today, who is the most informed that's going to keep this place going? And if you don't bring those kids to church and you don't bring them to Sunday school, and my three had drug problem. I drug them to Sunday school. I drug them Sunday morning. I drug them to Sunday night. I drug them to Wednesday night. I drug them to camp. I drug them to vacation Bible school. I drug them to revival. I drug camp meeting everywhere. I drug my kids, and I don't think it hurt them a bit. Well, told me one day, he said, you're going to run your kids off when they get older by doing that. Well, they're still real close. I'm going to eat lunch with them today, except for the one that's in France. We ain't going to talk about that one right now. But we must, as good Christians and good church members,
yes,
be informed on what thus says the Lord. That's what's destroying our churches. People, matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he said, my people die for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
And our churches in America have been destroyed by crooks and charlatans and fakes because the members of those churches do not have enough Bible knowledge to know when it's a crook standing there. I'm not saying every guy on television is a crook, but I'm saying there's not many that aren't. And I'm not saying every hippie church in town's a crook, but I'm going to tell you this, a lot of them are. And what does the Lord say? We've got the membership of a church needs to be informed. You ought to read your Bible every day. You ought to carry a Bible when you come to church. Look, you ought to check it out when people's quoting Scripture. And then, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58, I want you to underline this one because we're fixing to say a cuss word. You pay attention to something, fix to say a four-letter word. It's a four-letter word. All you people get to say a four-letter word today. Most of you said one on the church anyway. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's that four-letter word, work. When I was a kid, Dobie Gillis used to come on television, black and white, took about 20 minutes show to show. It really had three people in it. And Joe Dobie's daddy would look over at Maynard and say, boy, you need to get you a job and go to work. And Maynard G. Krebs would go, work! Work! You have spasms every time you... Well, ain't that the generation we're living in today?
Yes.
Work!
Yes.
What do you mean? You got plenty of money. Why would I work? That's my money. Not yours. I work to get it. I ain't paying your stinking bills. Pay them yourself. Nobody paid mine. I had two gross Winn-Dixie grocery bags of clothes when I got saved. What have you got? Probably more clothes than you know what to do with. But he said that we're to always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain, the real New Testament church and the New Testament church member works. He says, don't just work. He says, abounding.
Yes.
Abounding in the work of the Lord. That word comes from that word abundance. Do a whole lot of it.
Yes.
Whole lot of it. By the way, if you know who that guy was that run over our mailbox and busted all in pieces, you'll notice him, by the way, his grill's knocked down, his left headlights tore all in pieces, all that's laying on the ground out there. I want you to...
got a mailbox in the
crib. Call, yeah. Oh, the mailbox is gone. Yeah, it's still stuck in his grill. He went somewhere and a fella told him, if you pull that out, your radiator's going to leak. So he's still riding around with the mailbox. And I want y'all to tell Brother Alton, if you see it, because I don't know if it's him, but whoever was here in the past put the biggest... The stand was that big around, and it's half-inch steel, hollow in the middle, welded into a square. It's buried 3 foot deep. And had the mailbox on top of it, and they ran over it and drug it 6 feet. That car's tore all to pieces. If you ever see him, I want you to say, you need to get you a job and go to work and pay that back. But a New Testament Christian, a New Testament church, a New Testament church member works for the Lord. And by the way, let me just do a little side note right here. If you don't work a regular job and pay your regular bills, I don't think you're going to do much for the Lord. We got quiet on that. If you get converted, you'll want to do something for the Lord.
Yes.
If you start being faithful, it will inspire you to do something for the Lord. If you get informed, you'll learn that the Bible teaches us we're supposed to be. Here, man, COPD, heart trouble, fixing out prostate surgery, I think, right, next week or so. Man preaches in 4 or 5 nursing homes now. 4 nursing homes. I think 3 of them's on Tuesday. 3 on one day.
And 2 on one day and 1 on Saturday.
Oh, okay, but it's 4 altogether. And the man's sick, got COPD, heart trouble. He's taking heart medicine, got to get off of it to have surgery. Got prostate trouble. And he preaches, and by the way, he preaches. He don't pussyfoot around. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you got to preach, but you'll do something for the Lord. He said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. You go down there on the job and do something for the Lord. Be a witness. Be a testimony. Live right. Live separate. Live clean. And people will notice you and they'll say, what is wrong with you? And you'll say, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm saved by the grace of God. And I go to church and you can come down there with me and learn what I got. Here it comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all of you know it, verse 1 through 3. 4 minutes till, what's the name of that place where that big old buffet is? What, Golden Corral? That's where that little boy went through there and he was looking at those beans and went, shoot! Oh, Golden Crowd just lost 5 customers. Amen. There used to be a Chinese buffet on Cherry Road. There used to be a Chinese buffet, and we were in there one day. Our family met over there for something, but I was out there in the seafood section, you know, and they have raw seafood. What do you call that stuff?
Sushi.
And this little boy's got his hands over. He's picking. It's pretty stuff. It's pretty. I wouldn't eat it, but it's pretty. And he's reaching over, picking it up, putting it on his plate, fill his plate up. Brother Billy, I said, son, he's about 10 years old. I said, you know that's raw fish, don't you? It hasn't been cooked. And then you went and got it. Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. I says converted membership, saved by the grace of God. I says faithful membership, they show up. I said, number two is informed membership. They want to know what the Bible says. And then I said, it's a working membership. But listen, it also produces this. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:4. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, charity suffereth long, it envieth not. And look, that's what we're supposed to be as a New Testament church. We're supposed to suffer long, allow, you know, and love people and put up with stuff we ought not have to put up with, and we ought to love them anyway, and we ought to do good to them anyway. And then we also, though, we ought to know that we're going to pass from life unto death. And here's how you know, according to 1 John, because you love the brethren. Now, don't tell me you don't love the local church and tell me that you're converted. It's a lie. Either you're mad at somebody lying about not loving the church, or you're just lying and you're not saved and you don't love the church. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity means that kind of love that you're giving out. And you expect nothing in return.
Amen.
Sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, preacher, can I borrow this money, borrow that money? You know, personally. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
People ask you that? No, I can tell they don't, by the way. Some of you looking at me. You already told them no so many times. But every once in a while, and can I borrow $20? I said, no, you can't borrow $20. I got a deal with the bank. They don't preach, and I don't loan money. But then I say, I'll give you $20. I'm not loaning you any money. Because see, if I loan it to you and you don't pay me back, I'm going to lose a friend because you're going to avoid me. But if I give it to you and don't expect nothing in return, neither one of us is going to be disappointed. And it ought to be about like that about everything in life. Preacher, come help me do this on my car. I'll help you do something on your car. No, I'll come help you. You don't have to do anything. Now, a converted member of a church, somebody that's been saved by the grace of God, will love people.
Amen.
And matter of fact, you can't make us hate you.
Amen.
Some of y'all look puzzled right there. Now you can make us dislike you. You may even make us dislike you so badly we don't want to be around you. But we will not hate you. We'll love you in spite of you. Because, see, I don't know anybody that I dislike enough that I want them to go to hell.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's not willing any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And a true child of God will not hate you, because to hate you is to say, I just assume you go to hell. And if you tell somebody to do that, that's a good sign you've never been converted.
Amen.
Man, it got quiet. So you've been watching too many Hollywood TV shows where they tell people to go. Why don't you get mad one day and just... Why don't you just get mad one day and say, oh, you make me so mad! Go to heaven! I think I spit on his tie. I didn't do it in hate, though, but I loved it when I did that. Now, New Testament church and New Testament church members are supposed to be loving people. Now, you watch this junk on television. I'm about through with Hulu. They're showing these LGBT commercials so badly. And we bought it to get away from that stuff, and we're going to cancel it. But they push this stuff on us, they push it on us, and they say we hate them when we don't want to see it. That's not it.
That's right.
I don't want to see you commit adultery. I don't want to see you abort a baby. I don't want to see you steal from a bank. I don't want to see you sin. I don't want to hear you talk about it. I don't want to hear you glory in it. I can love you anyway. But don't push that stuff on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, they won't let us join their church because we're homosexual or we're this. Or we're... No, we won't let you join the church because you're not converted.
Amen.
If you get converted, your life will change.
Amen.
You'll quit that stuff. Amen. Amen. You won't have to quit it. He'll quit it for you.
Amen.
He'll change you want to.
Yes.
Now, we're loving people. Somebody asked me one day, said, would you, it was a female couple, which I don't think there's really any such thing. I'm just saying that so you'll understand. There's no such thing as homosexual marriage just because they made a law. God's law hadn't changed, okay?
Amen.
You can't change God's law.
Amen.
And when we say, use these terms, it doesn't mean we recognize them as married. We don't. Y'all still with me? And I had two of them ask me, would your church allow us to come to church? I said, certainly. Certainly. I said, now we're not going to allow you to show any affection for one another. I said, but guess what? Our real husbands and wives don't show any affection in church either. I ain't seen nobody kissing and hugging on nobody. Amen? Church ain't the place to do that. If you got teenagers and you're smart, you'll put a family Bible between the two of them.
Amen.
They're looking for a Bible over here. Amen. Amen. You don't need a Bible. You got Becky. She'll straighten your hide out, boy. Loving. Look, if we're going to have a New Testament church and we're going to be New Testament members, we're going to have to love people.
Amen.
Now, I don't care where you come from. I care about where you're going.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yes.
And there are no right. People come in and say, well, that's my pew. Not in this church. You don't own nothing. God owns it all.
Amen.
Well, you know, they inherited this position or that. But nobody inherits anything. God owns this place. And he told us to love people. We're going to love people. Educated, uneducated, red, yellow, black, white, polka dotted, maroon.
Yes, amen.
I would say gay, but those people really are not gay. Homosexual, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ. We don't care. We're going to love you. And hopefully you'll see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and you'll get what we've got. You'll get converted. Amen? Don't accuse us of hate just because we want to do right. Because we're informed. We know what right is. Last but not least, y'all ready for the golden corral? Not now. James 5:16. There's probably another one. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to ruin you. Put a fly in your soup or something. I don't know. James 5:16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1 says men ought always to pray and not to faint. A New Testament church with New Testament members is a praying member.
Amen.
I know there's people. I'm not near as dumb as I look. I know there's people come here and they go home. They never pray for the church. They never pray for the people. They never pray for the prayer requests. But a real church member of a New Testament church is a praying person.
Amen.
Well, I don't have time to pray. Liar, 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 your pants on fire. Everybody has time to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they took prayer out of schools. You kids look up here at me. The next math test, you're going to have prayer. Lord, help me. I didn't study for this.
Yes.
You ought always to pray. Go to work, when the boss man cusses you out, look over at him and say, Lord, help him. He know not what he does.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, give me grace not to kill him behind this machine over here.
Amen.
You ought always to pray.
Amen.
And then we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And where are you?
Yes.
Still love me, don't you?
Yes.
A New Testament church is full of praying people. Don't criticize people. Pray for them.
Amen.
Why, old preacher, he walked around there with his breeches bagging and his coat unbuttoned and his tie was crooked. Well, pray for me. Have y'all said that? You got real quiet. I preached one time, my breeches unzipped. I didn't even know they was unzipped. And somebody come to me after church and said, XYZ, preacher. I said, why didn't you tell me before I got started? Well, I don't like that Sunday school teacher. They don't read very well. Well, why don't you pray for them?
Yeah.
At least they're teaching. What you doing?
Amen.
Well, I don't like that choir leader. He just, why don't you lead a choir?
Amen.
You see how hard that is. Amen. Say amen right there, all over. This ain't Methodist. You don't have to nod. You can say amen. When that guy gets up there to sing that special, he don't know nothing about a guitar. He knows it. Pray for him. Pray for him. He said, the only reason I sing, preacher, is because they let me play the guitar. Ain't that what you said? Why you want to criticize somebody that is converted, that is faithful, that's trying to be informed, they're trying to do a work for God, they're loving you enough to risk embarrassment? Why don't you pray for them?
Amen.
I'll tell you how to get rid of the preacher. Sit up front, say amen every time he says something, and pray out loud for him, and he'll have a heart attack and die. Last but not least, in Jude, there's only one chapter, I think it's verse 22. He says, having compassion on some, making a difference. And he goes so far as to say, plucking them out of the fire. Hating the garments that's spotted by the flesh, we're to pluck them out of the fire. And Jesus said this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Yeah.
Well, the church doesn't mean this building, and it doesn't mean inside the building.
That's right.
The gates of hell's not in here. But he said that we are the storm, the gates of hell. Right. So having compassion on some, why don't we go out there where they're about to drop off into hell, and love them enough to witness to them.
Amen.
You go back and read that Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4. And the next thing after they did, after they got converted and was baptized, they began to preach the word, teach the word, witness with great power. Because they learned to have compassion on other people who didn't know what they knew. Instead of looking at them and saying, stupid or ugly or lazy or bum, why don't you look at them and say, listen, can I talk to you for a minute? And have a little compassion on them. You know, people weren't born the way they are. They were born sinners, but they were innocent. Somehow they got themselves into a sinful mess, and we ought to be compassionate enough, like somebody was compassionate on us, and talk to people. Want to get a burden for souls.
Yes.
I'll tell you where to start. Start right here. There's people come to this church. They're lost. And by the way, usually the lost ones are the ones that's complaining and griping about what church is all about or how it's run.
Yes.
Try to win them. How about going down at your house?
Yes.
No. Have you ever really sat down and talked to anybody at your house and find out if they're saved or lost? Oh, you think that's the preacher's job? Well, I'll do it. I ain't scared. But if you would do it, they'd probably think a whole lot more of it than if I do it. They think that's my job. Having compassion on some, making a difference. Why don't you look over at that rebellious teenager and say, look, I wish you'd just get saved. I've been praying for you to get saved. I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. I remember when I was just like you and God had to interrupt my life and he had to save me. He snatched me out of fire. And I'm praying for you. And look, why don't you do that? You can do that right now. We can pray right now. A New Testament church member does that, shares the gospel. How about other people in other parts of this church family? Some of you know that some woman's got a husband who's not saved, or got a wife that's not saved, or children's not saved, and you're friends with those people in this church, and yet you go over to her house and talk about football and NASCAR and golf and clothes and everything else, but you never share the gospel. A real New Testament church member has a burden for lost souls. Let me tell you what's wrong with our country, and I'll quit. I know it's late, and I know that's a famous saying, I'll quit, but I am. Our problem's not in the White House, and it's not in Congress, and it's not in the House of Representatives. It's not in the Senate. It's not in the judicial branch or the executive branch. Listen, our problem, listen to me, our problem's not in the LGBT crowd or the Democrat or Republican. Our problem is that the supposedly New Testament church members have no burden for other people. And how in the world can you walk around this world and everybody we see is either going to heaven or hell? And all you see is their problems. You don't see the real root of the problem. They wouldn't be that way if they were saved. I thank God for our converted membership. I thank God there's some people here. I just about know there's, I'm just about as sure of their salvation as I am on. I thank God for the faithful membership. Sunday night, Wednesday night shows the real, and I know some people have health problems and stuff, but you know what I mean. Sunday night, Wednesday night shows the real church. I thank God for those that study the Word. They're interested in the Word of God. I thank God for those that are working around here and doing things for God. I thank God for the loving. We got one of the, probably the lovingest church in this county. I thank God for the praying membership. There's people in this church tell me all the time, praying for you, preacher. Praying for you. Praying for our church, preacher. Praying for our church. But I really think we need to get a bigger burden for souls. This ain't a club where we join it and have a good time because we're all alike and we think alike and we try to be alike. This is a New Testament church. And look, if it ain't growing, it's dying. And if people's not getting saved, they're not being... Now, we get transfers from other churches and things like that, and that's fine. But I think... look, a baby was born in Cheryl's family. Swan's holding his back there. And that little baby comes into a family, and everybody gets excited. You ever notice that? People get excited about babies. Women will say, I just want to hold him and smell him. I ain't never found a baby I want to smell. But that's what women will say. Is that like right, ladies? Not me. And boy, so much excitement will come in there, and that baby turns that house upside down. Did you know the same thing happens when a sinner gets converted? They become a babe in Christ and they turn your church upside down. They'll shout when you think it ain't time to shout, and they'll cry when you think it ain't time to cry, and they'll do things in ways you wouldn't think it would ever be done, and all you can stand back and do, just stand back and say, glory to God, look at that. He cut a flip. Did you see him cut that flip? Did you hear her over there crying and the preacher wasn't even preaching on nothing? That's what a baby Christian will do. It'll put life in your church. Yes. Hazel's husband has a blood problem. Every once in a while he has to get a transfusion.